Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Florida farmers face an acute need for labor when the harvest comes, and in recent years, they've relied on guest workers from other countries who come to the U.S. under the H-2A visa program to pick their crops. The visa locks the guest worker into a contract with their employer who must meet an array of obligations to those workers as they live and work in the U.S. for months at a time. According to the most recent data from the U.S. Department of Labor, Florida hosted nearly 18,000 agricultural guest workers under H-2A visas in 2015, by far the largest category coming to the state under similar work visas. They worked in cities like Arcadia, Plant City, and Avon Park, earning on average just over $10 an hour, which is about $2 above the minimum wage. And the vast majority worked in the citrus industry, picking oranges and grapefruits or other labor-intensive fruits like berries or melons. These workers live and work in the country under a unique set of circumstances surrounding their legal status, working conditions, and their employment contracts. Anthropologist Brian Moorfield is pursuing his PhD from Brown University and spent months researching Florida's citrus industry and the H-2A guest workers it employs. He joins us now in our studio. Brian, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also joining us today for our talk about the guest worker program is Mike Carlton, the Director of Labor Relations for the Florida Fruit and Vegetable Association. He's worked with growers on the H-2A program to track employment records, worker housing, and workplace safety standards. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks for having me.
We are talking about the people who work on Florida's farms under the H-2A guest worker visa. Call in with your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Mike Carlton with the Fruit and Vegetable Association, you've been working with growers and employers who hire H-2A workers. Give me an overview, if you don't mind, of the program. Why are Florida's farmers having to import labor to pick those crops in their field?
Well, the H-2A program is actually a program of last resort for farmers. It's very complex, it's very expensive, and certainly no one's going to be using that program unless it's absolutely necessary. And over the past 10 years or so, there's been a constant reduction in the availability of domestic laborers in agriculture.
So because of a lack of domestic laborers, these farmers are kind of sort of forced to turn to the H-2A program?
That's kind of exactly right. It's just the domestic labor is not available. It's not applying for the jobs that are advertised, and their only resort is to use the H-2A program.
So what does it cost a farmer? I know that they're paying $10 an hour to these workers, but what is the actual cost to the employer?
Well, the minimum wage actually is over $11 this year, but it's estimated that it cost between $2,000 and $2,500 per worker to be in the program. When you add in the cost of transportation, the visa cost, the housing cost, all those things.
So $2,000 to $2,500 per worker plus their hourly salary? Well, not salary,
correct,
but hourly
correct
pay?
Yep.
All right. Anthropologist Brian Moorfield, what protections do these guest workers have when they come over into the United States?
So they are making a higher wage. One of the most important protections that they have is what's called a three-quarters guarantee. So when they arrive, they are guaranteed by law to have three-quarters of the hours that they're promised under their contract. They have a contract, which is in itself is a bit of a protection. And, of course, they have temporary, but they do have legal status here in the United States. So that's something that helps them to feel more secure, both in and outside of work.
Now, who are these people that are coming up? Are they just individuals? Are they mainly men? Are they women? Are they families?
91% of visa recipients are from Mexico, at least within the H-2A program. The majority, at least in citrus, are single men. They tend to be younger. Older workers tend to get phased out as their productivity declines. That's a little bit different from the way that domestic workers used to be a little further in the past, not directly before the switch to H-2A workers, but a little further in the past, you used to have men and women that would pick often together in husband and wife teams. But women have – in a way, the H-2A program kind of skips over a lot of women that may or may not want those jobs that are coming from Mexican communities.
Mm-hmm. So you've been spent months talking with these guest workers for your research, and you say you're going to spend some time in Mexico this summer following some of these workers as they return home at the end of the season, which is going to be pretty interesting to see what a different life it is here versus there. What are you trying to learn with this kind of research?
So, I should say I started this project in Mexico, in a community in Mexico, and now I'm returning there as well. What I'm trying to figure out is, you know, how is this mode of migration and life different for workers as they come and go? And how is that different from, say, unauthorized workers that used to be doing a lot of this work? Unauthorized workers right now, their stays in the U.S. are actually climbing to they're staying about as long as they can in many cases because it's uncertain whether they'll be able to get back. So the H-2A program is a big difference for workers in that they're able to go back each year to stay with their family. With Citrus, they're spending about 6 months in Mexico, sometimes a little less if they're able to find another H-2A contract to come back and work on in the U.S. But I'm trying to get a bigger picture of what does that yearly cycle look like for workers? How does this H-2A program connect Mexican communities with communities here in Southwest Florida through the labor market and through something like the citrus industry?
Mm-hmm. What do you think is important for people who aren't involved in agriculture at all? What would you like for people to know about the H-2A program?
Let's see. I think one of the biggest things is that the H-2A program actually works pretty well in terms of its specified goals, in terms of keeping – in terms of supplying workers exactly where they're supposed to go within the agricultural labor market. And then in terms of convincing workers to return home to Mexico, there's actually a very – what I would say is a fairly small amount of workers that don't comply with that. Now, from the Mexican worker – well, from the farm worker's point of view, that might or might not be working particularly well for them. And I'm sure employers have differing views, too, in terms of how well those stated goals of the program actually work for them.
Mm-hmm. It's not unlike workers in the service industry who work in our area in the wintertime and then go up to New England in the summertime when there aren't any tourists here. It's kind of a similar migration path as far as like seasonality and going from one place to another, and again, north and south. So Mike Carlton with the Fruit and Vegetable Association, I wanted to ask you, what do farmers get out of this kind of an arrangement?
Well, they get a workforce. It's as simple as that. It's a highly productive workforce, but quite frankly, without this program, there has been significant loss of crops from time to time just due to lack of available labor. So, you know, the bottom line is even though the program's expensive, even though it's complex and fraught with uncertainty in a lot of ways, it's extremely valuable to American agriculture. And being able to supply a workforce that's simply not there otherwise.
And you mentioned earlier that the minimum wage for these farm workers is $11 an hour. Is that a different wage for farm workers that's as opposed to the regular minimum wage in the state of Florida?
Well, yeah. The regular minimum wage is $8.10 for farm workers, for domestic farm workers. But the H-2A program is the way the federal government has designed the wage structure, it is intended to ensure there's not an adverse effect on domestic workers. And to do that, the federal government determined that the wages needed to be higher. We don't believe that it's a very well-designed wage structure. It's not based on the market itself. It's much broader than that, and it's kind of self-perpetuating in terms of its increases every year.
Yeah. So this is an increase that's instituted by the federal government. You said that's an $11 an hour figure for farm workers.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
For H-2A farm workers. Yeah. It's part of the rule process within the H-2A program. It's not the same for every state. Some states are higher, some states are lower than Florida, but it essentially increases each year.
So if you're a farmer and you are advertising you need someone to help you with your citrus harvest and you need to advertise for that job, do you have to advertise the job at $11 an hour for domestic labor too?
Yes.
Okay, so that's just the basic. Okay, so I understand what you're saying now. So that's why it's different from the 810, because when you said that earlier, I was thrown. So that's and they increase that every year, you said? Because the latest data that we had was $10 from 2015. That went up again?
Yeah, it goes up. It's restructured each year. The survey is looked at each year, and essentially each year it goes up several percentage points.
So what would happen if there wasn't an H-2A program for farmers?
We would be getting most of our fruits and vegetables from other countries.
And we would just not have farmers? They would just have to walk away?
Yeah, we've got to have a workforce. Much of the specialty agriculture, fruits and vegetables, is very labor-intensive. It's not easily adaptable to mechanical harvesting or robotic harvesting because of the potential for bruising of tomatoes or strawberries or whatever. So we're dependent on a reliable workforce, and quite frankly, we just don't have one that is domestic.
So domestic workers are just not showing up for the job.
That's correct, and there may be a number of reasons for that. It certainly wages is not the primary reason. The primary reason is the seasonality of the work. This is outdoor work. It's very hard, very very uncomfortable work to do, and those factors I think lend themselves to pushing domestic workers to other kinds of jobs.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask anthropologist Brian Moorfield, in your research and interviews with workers, do they feel like this program is working? You mentioned earlier for some it is, but for some it's not.
Well, I would go to a very early interview that I did with one worker. This was actually in Mexico. And I had asked him about when his company switched to guest workers. And I should say this company, like a lot of companies where I've spoken with employers, they had what Mike's referring to as domestic workers. Many of them are actually migrants themselves. Some of them documented, some undocumented. At least in the citrus industry, that's the word that gets used, domestic. This company, from 1 year to the next, decided to switch from domestic to H-2A workers. And many of those former domestic workers who were undocumented Mexican migrants were actually able to transition into the H-2A program. And I asked them, did anyone not decide not to come into this program? And he said, yeah, we've got a few people who decided they wanted to keep being free. They wanted to keep the ability to move between employers based on conditions that they saw in the groves. And I looked at him and I said, well, what about you? I was kind of joking. And I said, you prefer not to be free? And in that year, he looked at me and said, no, I don't, because this contract gives me a little bit of stability in my seasonal schedule. It allows me to come back each year to see my family. That's something that I'm willing to trade for my freedom in terms of my ability to change employers. More recently, I've talked to him and he said, he really does feel hemmed in by this restriction on his ability to change employers. And he is not enjoying that quite as much because he's seen conditions in the groves that his company is assigned to steadily declining, and it's getting a lot harder for him to make his wages.
Getting harder to make his wages, how?
So it's harder for him to pick the amount of oranges per hour that his company requires him to pick in order for him to essentially keep his job from 1 year to the next. They have a production minimum. Now, when he says that he feels hemmed in or he feels stuck in this particular position with this company, the interesting thing is that as the H-2A program is starting to grow throughout the agricultural labor market, he's also seeing other positions opening up for him in between the citrus season. Some of them last longer, some of them are shorter. But he, for instance, was offered a position to pick sweet potatoes, and he decided not to take it. And I said, well, why not? Because, the way you've talked to me, you need the money, you want to take those positions whenever you can get it. And he said, you know, that particular position didn't last long enough for me. So as this H-2A program is expanding through the labor market, he's able to pick and choose a little bit.
So he's got more options.
Yeah, exactly.
Do these laborers make enough money in the 6 months or the picking season that they happen to be here? Do they make enough money to last all year when they go back to Mexico?
Many of them do. It depends on, for instance, how many people they're supporting in their household. I can tell you that in the Mexican community that I work in, many people who don't have any access to remittances, to wages from people who have come to the United States. They live in very, very basic houses, many of which are still actually adobe. Guest workers tend to live in smaller but much newer and much better constructed houses, often of cinder blocks. They have a nice roof on the house.
In the Mexican village that you're talking about, you can drive down the road and you can tell this guy must be on a guest worker program, whereas this guy probably is not.
Absolutely.
Or this family is not, because you can tell by their living conditions it's that drastic.
Yeah, visibly you can see it. And it also – those differ from people who had family members who were here in the United States working in construction and other positions before 2008 in particular. They tend to –
yeah, construction kind of fell off after that.
Or people who have permanent documentation here.
So where do they live when they're here? Is that housing that's set up by the farmer, or how do they find housing? Because you can't really get a 6-month lease usually.
Yeah, well, yes, that's something that my partner and I found out very quickly here in Florida. Most of them are living in employer-provided housing. Sometimes that's something like a hotel. Most of the time, particularly with Citrus, we're looking at smaller houses and trailers. But those are provided by their employer, who's actually usually a labor contractor. Sometimes those are farmers as well, but usually they're working for a particular labor contractor that's then taking them and their crew that they work with to the groves of different growers.
How do those living conditions compare? Yes?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that one of the requirements of the H-2A program is that housing be provided free. So prior to being approved to be in the program in this quite complex application process, one of the steps is to have housing inspected by the state and approved. And you must have enough housing for the number of people that you're bringing in. So that's one of the benefits of the program to the worker itself, is that housing is provided to them free of charge. All H-2A workers are put up in company-provided housing.
And is that part of what you said earlier was the $2,000 to $2,500 cost of having one laborer come up?
Yes.
Okay. It's really an interesting story to hear about who these people are. And I wanted to ask one quick last question, because I just realized we're kind of running low on time. Mike Carlton with the Fruit and Vegetable Association, what would be an ideal situation for farmers? Would they like to not have to rely on visiting workers and have only domestic employees?
I think certainly that would be ideal for them. But it's simply not a reality. It's not where the employment structure in this country is anymore. Agriculture is not looked at. Field work in agriculture, I don't think, is looked at as a real opportunity for folks in this country.
Yeah.
So ideally, we'd have a guest worker program that is much less restrictive than this one and is much more responsive to the way agriculture is structured.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank our guest, Mike Carlton with the Fruit and Vegetable Association, and anthropologist Brian Moorfield. Good luck to both of you as you continue your work, and safe travels, Brian, on your way to Mexico this summer.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chinqui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.